Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I am your host, and I'm excited to have you join me here tonight as we make spiritual wellness a priority. So tonight, we're going to discuss our hashtag moment, and the hashtag moment for the month of May is More is Required. We'll also continue our series on discussing the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament during our To Believe or Not to Believe segment. Then we'll go on to our next segment titled Let's Be Real, where I'll be making a confession tonight. And then we'll go into our main discussion where we will be discussing experiencing hurt inside the church. So I know that's going to be a very hot topic. I look forward to you calling in. Remember that you can always call into the show live with any questions or comments by dialing the number 347-850-4154. If you need that number again at any point during the show, you can just look at the show website. It's also in one of the pictures on the slideshow as well, and that is at blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness. So remember that you can also interact with me online before, during, or after the show on social media. You can use any of the hashtags that we mentioned on tonight, including More is Required, Wellness and Faith, Let's Be Real, hashtag moment, or anything else that resonates with you. Just be sure to tag me in your post at Weary Consult, and you can do that on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram as well. So let's go right into our hashtag moment. So the hashtag moment is a point in the show where I discuss a topic that's related to my monthly blog, and then we post on social media about it with that particular hashtag. I'm a guest contributor for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center, and that blog can be found at radiantsunshine.org. My latest blog, More is Required, was published a few days ago, so I encourage you to go and check it out. So once again, the hashtag for the month of May is More is Required. So feel free to post on social media or even call into the show live with any questions or comments that you have with that particular hashtag. So in order to be well spiritually, you must offer up all that you have to God. You must give everything you have of you, your whole being. And so some of those areas of focus include your mind, your body, your spirit, and your finances. On last week, we talked about what it means to give your mind or offering your mind to God. And on this week, we're going to talk about offering your body. So let's discuss what it means to give our bodies to God. So with giving our bodies to God, this means our physical body. So your eyes, your hands, your ears, your feet, just the totality of your entire physical being. And so many times within the church when we talk about offering our bodies to God, we only talk about sexual purity. And that's definitely an important aspect of it. But the one thing that I want to make sure that we talk about tonight is all the aspects of offering our bodies to God. So for instance, when we talk about our eyes, what is it that we are taking in with our eyes? What are we witnessing? This can go from either watching crazy things that happens on TV to even things that we watch in real life to interactions that we may witness with strangers or with families or with friends. And if we're looking at things that we know is not going to be beneficial to us, then we should really not partake in those things. And in saying that, for instance, let's say with television, I'm a person where I do have a few shows that I watch on TV, but I'm very mindful of what I watch. There's some things that I just can't tolerate. But to be completely honest, I also don't watch church on TV all day long. You know, when I go to the movies, you know, there's a chance that I'm not going to see a Christian movie. Like, yes, I like T.D. Jakes movies. I enjoy some of Tyler Perry's movies, and, you know, like one of the latest movies that came out, like War Room, I enjoyed watching that movie, but I've also gone to see other movies as well. So what I'm not trying to say is that everything that we watch or we partake in, you know, even for entertainment or social purposes, it has to be church related directly. But at the same token, we do have to be very mindful that anything that we allow our eyes to witness, that it does have an effect on us. And it can be an effect that we realize immediately, or it can be an effect that we realize maybe later down the line. So even with offering our bodies to God, we want to be careful of what we witness even with our eyes. And so let's talk about even our hands. You know, what is it that we do to our hands? You know, for some people who have more stronger personalities, you may be more apt to fight in a situation where you get very angry because you're offended by something a person has said or done. And in doing that, that's not really the best response to a situation. Now, I'm not talking about life or death situations where your physical safety is threatened. There are instances where if you are being threatened physically, you need to respond physically in order to ensure your life and your well-being. But if there is a chance for you to not escalate the situation to a physical confrontation, then we want to do that. And even with the things that we partake in that we create with our hands, anything that we touch, like how we interact with others, how we even interact with ourselves, we want to make sure that we're using our hands as a tool of God's love, as a tool of His grace and His mercy with doing that. And so let's even talk about our ears. We're offering our ears to God. Are we listening to things that are beneficial for us? This can be from everything to music to even discussions about a friend or a coworker or a family member. You know, let's say if you know someone who likes to gossip and give you the latest information about someone's shortcomings or, you know, the different challenges that they are having in their lives, maybe that's a discussion that you don't need to hear. Maybe that's a discussion that you need to don't need to partake in. And be quite honest, anything that starts with gossip is not something that you really need to hear anyway. If a person is coming to you to discuss the issue about someone else other than themselves, you need to definitely be mindful of and to be explicit to the person and let them know that if you are not coming to me to discuss this issue for the benefit of, one, healing or to get advice on how to handle the situation, and also not having the intent with going to that person as well, then we can't have that discussion. And that can be very hard, especially if it's your best friend and they want to come to vent about a particular situation. I know I've been in that situation so many times before where you have people come to you and they want to, you know, give information. And, you know, even for those of us who've grown up in church, you'll know that somebody will come to you and say, "Girl, I need you to pray for me because such and such, such and such." Or, "Girl, you need to pray for your friend because she's tripping. She's doing this, she's doing that, or he's involved in this, or he's involved in that." And we say pray for, but at the end of the day, we have no intention of praying for that person. We really only have the intent of sharing information that's going to damage the reputation of that person. So even what we listen to and what we allow ourselves to hear about other people, we want to make sure that the intent is always to bring reconciliation and restoration and to make sure that we're pursuing peace in the midst of it, in the midst of whatever it is that we're hearing. So then when we talk about even the aspect of sexual purity, now this is going to be a really touchy subject. We don't have the time to really delve into everything that we could discuss about sexual purity. And the other thing that I want to point out as well is that as we're discussing these things in the show, is that I and even the other people that we'll bring on, is that we never have the intent to make someone feel bad about who they are or even bad about their mistake. What it is about, though, is about speaking truth and allowing the opportunity for that truth to allow growth. So we're always about growth. We're always about process and making sure that we're on a journey to being well and to being whole. And so even when it comes to sexual purity, of course, I cannot force you to do anything. I cannot force my own beliefs on you. The only thing I can do is to give information. And from that information, you have to make a decision that's going to be best for you. But when we even look at biblical principles and how God has laid it out, He has laid out very specific guidelines when it comes to how we interact on an intimate level with those that we are going to be in a relationship with. And so when it comes to even sexual purity, we want to make sure that we're not putting ourselves in situations where our purity were to be compromised. Now, for those who have been in situations where they have been intimate with others, you know the challenges that come but trying to maintain that focus. And even if you have made, choices that have gone against your initial stance of remaining pure, that you can always start over again. You know, just because there may have been choices that you made that went against what your initial belief system were, it doesn't mean that you have to stay in those choices. You can start making new choices in order to offer your body and to put yourself in a position for your body to really be the temple of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that even with all the things that we talked about, with offering our eyes, our lips, our mouth, and that's one thing I actually didn't get to yet, even how are we to offer even our own lips as an offering to God, is that what are we saying about ourselves? What are we saying about other people? What are we saying about our own situation? Is that we have to make sure that we are very conscious about what comes out of our mouths. Even the Bible talks about how there is power, the power of life and death in our tongue. And so each time that we speak, whether it's concerning ourselves, our situations, or even other people, we are either speaking life or death over those persons or over our situation. There's no in-between. And so we want to be very careful of what we are allowing to come out of your mouth. And as I'm talking about all these different aspects, I'm not coming from a place of perfection. I do not do everything right. I have not done everything right because I'm human as well. But what I am doing is giving information based upon my own experiences, and that's experiences of failure and experiences of success. But the one thing that I do want to continue to go about and talking about the different hindrances that comes from giving our bodies fully to God. One is just the temptation that we're human, that we're all human. None of us are perfect. And so we all are going to encounter situations that's going to bring forth a temptation that will hinder us from actually doing things with our bodies, with our eyes, our lips, our ears, our hands, that are really pleasing to God. And once we know what our weaknesses are, and once we know what those shortcomings are, then we have to then make very concrete decisions about not to put ourselves in those situations again that will cause us to make choices that we will regret later. And so the benefits of giving our body fully to God is that one is less drama. You know, if you make a conscious decision to put your lips, make sure that your conversation is one that speaks life, one that edifies, one that speaks truth, then you don't have to worry about the drama that comes with listening to gossip or even participating in gossip. Even if you're conscious about what you allow yourself to hear, what you allow yourself to see, what you allow your hands to do, it just minimizes the amount of drama that you will experience in your life. And even when it comes to being committed to sexual purity as well, is that it really makes sure that you are making decisions and that you're put in a position to be well emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and even physically as well. Now, again, it's all up to you all to make whatever decisions that you feel that is best for you. If you feel that the biblical principles that, you know, that we've mentioned or alluded to here in this discussion is not what's best for you, then, of course, you need to go on and make whatever decision that you think is. But at the end of the day, just the practical application of living out the hashtag of more is required is that it requires to give ourselves over to God even physically. It requires us to step outside of our own comfort zones, our own mortality, to step out of our own fleshly desires and to live by the Spirit. Because even the Bible talks about how living in the flesh actually has a consequence of death. But by living in the Spirit and by the Spirit, it has a consequence on life. So I encourage each and every one of you that are listening today is to go on this journey by giving more of who you are, because God requires more, and you experience the blessing and the peace that comes with even giving your bodies over to God. So let's now go into our next segment, which is titled To Believe or Not to Believe. So this is a segment on the show where I strongly encourage you all to interact with me live while we discuss various reasons why it may be difficult to believe in God. Our discussion tonight, we're going to be talking about the miracle of Jesus that's found in the New Testament, where he actually healed the servant of the centurion. If you would like to join the discussion live now, you can dial 347-850-1154. And you can also post on social media with any hashtags that you feel resonates with you or even your own hashtag. And just remember to tag me at WearyConsult. So So the particular miracle that we're going to be talking about tonight can be found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. And so the main players that we have in this particular miracle that took place, we have Jesus, we have the centurion, and then we have the centurion's servant. And so what occurs is that the centurion sees Jesus, and he comes up to him, and he's talking to him about the issue with his servant not being well. And so as he's talking to Jesus, and he's asking for Jesus to heal his servant, Jesus says, actually offers to come to his home, to come to the centurion's home in order to come and heal him. And so the centurion's response is very interesting here, because what he tells Jesus is that he's not worthy of having Jesus to come into his home, despite him being a person who has leadership and authority, with having people who work underneath him. He still doesn't see himself as good enough with being blessed with the presence of Jesus directly in his home. And then he goes on to say how all he needs for Jesus to do is to just speak the word and that his servant will be healed. And so once Jesus heard this, he commented about his faith and talked about how great his faith is. And then he ended it with saying that the centurion can go back home and be fine because his servant is healed as well. And sure enough, when the centurion went home, the servant was healed. And so what I find so interesting, like I said again, it's just like with the centurion's response, is that even with being a person of position, with being a person that had this authority to be able to tell other people to do what he wanted to do when he wanted to do it, he still came with humility to Jesus in his time of need. And this is something that even we can take in as a lesson to learn as well, is that in our situations, even as we experience success, because there is nothing wrong with being successful, there's nothing wrong with having your hard work pay off with the reward of being able to enjoy the fruit of your labor, to be able to enjoy your hard work by being able to have greater responsibility and having greater access and having greater resources. But even in that, the resources and the success that we will attain, is that we should also still be humble. We should not allow our success to overtake how we see ourselves and to make us see ourselves in a way that we are really more than what we really are, you know, is that we still have to recognize that at the end of the day that Jesus is Lord and Savior of all, that he is the one that he's still a ruler of the entire universe, and he still has everything that we need, is that despite all the success that we can encounter or experience, rather, and all the resources that we can obtain, there are still some things that success and that hard work can't do. And one of those things is even performing miracles in our lives and in the lives of others. So it's so awesome that even in this experience of success, he recognized in his time of need that this is beyond his success, this is beyond his leadership, and that he needed to go to the source who could immediately rectify the situation. And Jesus did. Just by speaking that one word of healing, the servant was healed at that time. So I definitely believe that this miracle takes place. I think it's so awesome to see how Jesus continues to have compassion as they are coming to him in time of need. And so what about you? Have you chosen to believe or not to believe? Remember, you can call into the show or you can post on social media. And just remember to tag me at Weary Consult, and you can do that on Instagram, Facebook, and on Twitter. So now let's go into our segment titled Let's Be Real. So this is a segment of the show where I make weekly confessions, and I'm transparent, and I admit my mistakes, my shortcomings, but I'm also very honest about my successes and the progress that I've made as well. And so the purpose of this segment is to provide example of what I believe we need more of from people of faith, and that is simply people being real. So be real. So the discussion that I'm going to make tonight, or confession rather, that I'll be making tonight is that there have been times that I have not liked church, and the reason why I did not like church is because of issues that I have encountered with people in church, or with some of the people. I want to make sure that I stress that, with some of the people that are in church. So for those of you who may not know, I grew up in a church, so I can say that I've been in church like all my life. I remember being involved in youth groups and going on youth trips and, you know, even as a teenager being involved in different things that we did. And even now as an adult, you know, I definitely am very active in my local church, you know, as well. And so from growing up in church and being in church for such a amount of time is that you begin to see a lot, you experience a lot, some good things and some bad things. And for the times that I have not liked church, it has been because I've had bad experiences. Now, some people will probably be cringing at the fact that I'm saying that. Like, why would you admit this here on this radio show? The church already gets a bad rap. You're making it worse. But to be honest, people are already having the discussions anyway. And the longer we deny the reality of what occurs, then the longer that we can't rectify the issue. So I am going to be honest and say that there are times that I have not liked church because of issues that I've had with particular people. You know, I've experienced situations where people have said or done things that really were not in good taste. And they have said and done things that really should not have been said or should not have been done. But I was able to move past those issues and to be able to begin to experience healing in my own life. And the reason why I chose to seek healing from God and also from other people in the church who could actually help me work through those situations is because I got tired of being bound by my hurt. I got tired of being bound by the disappointment of people. And then the other thing I had to realize as well is that they're human just like me. And even though I'm hurt by something they said or something they've done, is that I haven't been perfect. And there have been times that I've said or done things that, you know, have hurt other people as well. And so in knowing that I've made mistakes and in knowing that I don't always get it right, it allowed me to now come from the position of grace and understanding when it comes to those people who have done things that I really did not like. And even with coming to a position of grace and understanding, it does not mean that I put myself in the exact same situation again to experience the exact same thing. You know, from those experiences, you learn to put up boundaries. You learn to put up, put different things in place so that you are not putting yourself in a position of not being well. You know, even with being spiritually well, we have to be cognizant of people and their own issues. Because if a person is not committed to their own healing, if they're not committed to growth and to progress, then they are going to contaminate your own journey of being whole and your journey of healing and of progress. And so depending on where a person is, you may need to put some distance or even considerable distance in order to prevent yourself from experiencing that same hurt again. And so to begin this journey of healing, and I can tell you that now, you know, years later, is that I'm so much further along from that, and I have more peace. You know, like I'm not crying or frustrated or angry or lashing out at people because of what they've done to me, and I'm not trying to be vengeful and just get back at people and make them feel what I felt, you know, because it's just there's no peace even in that. Even if you try to retaliate, there's no peace in retaliation because depending on who the person is that you're retaliating against, they may try to then up your retaliation, and then now you're in this constant battle of trying to see who can hurt who the most, and that's no way to live. That's not a life of peace. That's not a life of being well. That's not a life of being whole. And so with being on a journey of healing and constantly trying to come from a position of grace is that I really try to understand where people are coming from when they do me wrong. Now, again, as I stated a few minutes ago on the show, I am not perfect. I have not mastered this where I am now. Never, ever have an issue with someone that hurts me again. That's not the case. I can tell you that I had a conversation recently with someone where we had to talk about that just and put some different boundaries in place because of the interaction that I was having with this particular individual. And so I had to recognize that, hey, this is not a healthy interaction. Let me move on. Still wish you the best. But, you know, hey, got to put some distance there because I'm committed to my healing. I'm committed to remaining healed. I'm committed to remaining whole. And I can't have an interaction with someone if they are going to jeopardize that process and jeopardize the progress that I've made as well. And so now, even with having those experiences, I'm still in church. And I love the church that I'm a part of. And I'm very active in it as well. You know, I volunteer as I'm able to volunteer And I do attend my church regularly. But, you know, the reason why I'm able to now still be involved in church despite having those past experiences is because I've come to a place of healing, and I now try to have that position of grace and understanding when it comes to other people and their issues, and knowing that everyone's process of healing is different, and that some people it happens a lot faster, some people it happens a lot slower, and there's nothing wrong with someone necessarily if it takes them a lot longer. What it does mean is that their journey is different and they're responding to their journey different. So in spite of the negative experiences that I've had, I choose to still be involved in church, and I plan to still continue to be involved in church. And the most important reason of all is that at the end of the day, people are going to be people regardless of where you meet them at. And we're going to talk more about this later on in the show, because church hurt is something that I know that a number of people have experienced. And so I want to make sure that we have open and honest discussion about this, and to give more time to the subject than we're able to give in this particular segment. So we will be talking more about this once we come back from our commercial break. But the one thing that I want to say before we go into our commercial break is that the other thing that helped me to move past those issues that I've had with other people and to still be involved in church is that at the end of the day, I'm not in church for people. I'm there for God. I'm there because of what He is in my life and also what He has put me here on earth to do. And I know that because of the giftings and the talents that He has given me and the people that I am meant to meet later on in life, whether that's a few weeks from now, a few months from now, or even a few years from now, every experience that I have is going to put me in a position to be the person to help these future people that I'm encountering. And I've already had experiences where I've been able to talk to people who have experienced things similar to that I've been through, and I've been able to be of an assistance to say, like, hey, I've been there, but I've moved past that as well. I've experienced the same thing that you've experienced, but I'm no longer stuck in that experience, and I've been able to now be a victor over that experience of hurt and being taken advantage of and the other things that I have felt. So we're going to go ahead and take a commercial break at this point in the show. We're going to hear our wellness tip from Sharia Farmer, who is the owner of the RF Counseling and Wellness Center, and then I'll be back in a few moments.
Today's wellness moment is be grateful. It is one of the best things in the world to really reflect on the things that you have and to be able to really acknowledge the things that you do have in your life so that you can have a level of gratitude. And also, it's been shown that when a person is grateful, they actually can identify the things that make them happy. It actually helps to for them to have less experiences of sadness, and it also helps them balance with the ups and downs because they can reinforce when they are down that they have things to be up for. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not going to have bad moments. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have things in life that happen that bring you down. But what it does mean is that you'll have a level of great gratitude or gratefulness that you can return to when these moments come. I really think that this is an important one because it helps to maintain your health, realizing that there's good times and bad times, but you can always identify some good in your life. And also just take a minute, maybe about 1 or 2 minutes a day, either in the morning or even before you go to bed, just to kind of be grateful. So that's our wellness moment for this week. You guys be well.
All right, so welcome back to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. Remember, you can interact with me online with the various hashtags that we mentioned throughout the show just by tagging me at Weary Consult. You can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with the handles Weary Consult. So I look forward to talking to each and every one of you. And remember that you can join our discussion live by dialing the number for the show. The number to be able to call in live to join the discussion is 347-850-1154. And if you need that number again at any point during the show, you can just look right there at the show website at blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness. So with our main topic discussion on tonight, we're going to continue talking about this experience of hurt and specifically experiencing hurt in the church. So this is like extension of our topic of Let's Be Real. And the reason why I wanted to have an extended conversation about this is because of a conversation that I had a few days ago with a woman that I actually haven't seen in a long time. And talking with her and catching up with her, you know, to see how she was doing and see how her family was doing and to see just what's the latest, she actually talked to me about an issue that she had with a church that she used to go to. And she didn't go into name and details about it, but she had simply said that she stopped going to this particular church because she was tired of the people being fake and she was tired of the way that they treated her. So she decided to just leave, and she was no longer there, but she was, you know, had visited some other churches. But she knew that that she wanted to actually come back maybe to a service at that particular church, but just wasn't sure because she was really hurt by that. And with the conversation we're having with her, after we talked, you know, I hugged her and we went our separate ways, I was thinking more about this and how this is a similar story that I've heard from other people. This is not a story that I've heard from everyone. I do want to go on record with saying that everyone that is involved in church does not have this experience. But at the same token, even with making that clarification, there are some people that do have the experience. I don't think that for the sake of trying to not have any bad press, that we should ignore situations that are happening, particularly with someone who is experiencing hurt. So I wanted to have this discussion. Again, I invite you to call in live. And I'm not looking for someone to have a particular viewpoint. I'm looking for someone to call in and to give a very honest view about what they have particularly experienced. And maybe you're similar to the young lady that I was speaking to earlier last week, you know, about how you stopped going to church because of instances that you've been through. And that's okay. And maybe you're a person you want to call in and you want to talk about how you were there, you were hurt, but you were able to overcome that. You're more than welcome to call into the show as well. But with anyone that calls in, the one thing that I want to make sure that we are very clear about is that, one, if you're calling in to discuss an incident, we are not going to discuss any identifying information about what occurred. So we're not going to say the name of the church. We're not going to say names of individuals. I would actually prefer you don't even say the city, the city or state that the incident occurred anyway, because we want to make sure that we are respectful of everyone that involved. Even if the individuals did do something that was wrong, we still want to make sure that this show is respectful by protecting the identities of that person because they have not given permission to be discussed on the show in that nature. So we want to make sure we don't give any identifying information. And then if you're calling in, let's say, in a response to someone, if they call in, they talk about a particular issue, we want to make sure that we do not minimize anyone's feelings or minimize their experiences that they have had. So first, I want to start off the discussion with talking about how hurt can govern one's behavior. So the thing about it is that when someone is hurt, you're going to act differently. And whether you act differently for just a few moments or whether you completely change the course of your entire life, the truth of the matter is that hurt does affect an individual's behavior and how they choose to interact. And depending on how much hurt that a person experiences, it can have a greater impact on how they interact with other people, how they even see themselves, and how successful they are in meeting their goals that they may have, whether that's professional goals or social goals, relational goals, financial goals, depending on how you see yourself and how you see the world around you, that is going to affect how you interact with the world around you and how you interact with different individuals. So we want to make sure that we're honest with ourselves about hurt and what we're feeling and what we've experienced. And let's say, you know, you have a conversation with someone where you're the person who's being accused of actually hurting this person. And the one thing you have to remember in that discussion is that the person's feelings are very valid. To them, their perception is their reality. So even if the perception is not fully correct, at the end of the day, that perception is governing their behavior, is governing their vision, is governing their heart, is governing or having an effect on how they are seeing the situation. So even if they are hurt by, you know, something that you said and did and you did not have the attention of actually of being hurt, at the end of the day, that person's perception is that you hurt them. So you want to make sure that you are sensitive to that. And let's say that you're a leader over a particular ministry in your church or you're a pastor of a church. You want to be cognizant of that when someone comes to you to have a discussion, to just simply invalidate someone's feelings because you feel that their account of the incident isn't accurate, is not going to be helpful in having that person or helping that person to heal. And even if the person who has stated that they are hurt, even if their account is inaccurate, we want to make sure that we are 100% sure in the fact that their account is inaccurate. We want to make sure that we are being objective when looking at the situation and that we're not looking at their account of being hurt through our own misguided interpretation. You know, sometimes we can think that we're being objective, and in reality, we are not. We have to make sure by checking our own spirits, by checking our own interpretations, and making sure that we're not deeming this person's account of what happened inaccurate simply because of how we feel about the person or how we feel about the situation or how we feel about the person who's being the accused, is that at the end of the day, no one is perfect. And even if your intention was not to hurt, if you did an action or if you said something that should not have been done, even with true intentions, at the end of the day, your action or your words, they still hurt. Your good intention does not nullify the negative effect that your words or that your actions had, which really should not have been done or should not have been said. So we have to make sure that we're being truthful about what has happened, that we're also being objective as well as we try to come to a place of healing and come to a place of understanding as we are dealing with this hurt taking place. And one of the things that I'm a huge advocate of when it comes to even processing through hurt is professional counseling. And depending on, you know, what type of church you may have grown up in, and particularly if you've grown up as a person of color, that there is this stigma about going to counseling. You know, typically the advice that you get will be, you know what, just go and pray about it and you'll be all right. And for some people that works. And I'm not saying that that's not a bad thing, but what I am saying is that for some people, they need additional assistance along with the prayer. And there are Christian counselors that are in practice and that are able to help you to move through the spiritual aspect of the incidents that may have happened and to also help you through the practicality of dealing with the hurt as well. And so, you know, if you have, you know, gone to talk to your friends or if you've gone to maybe your pastor in your church or, you know, a other leader or a person that has a position in a church that you can trust who can help you to process or you believe they can help you to process, but at the end of the day that you still are stuck in that same situation, then you want to go ahead and you want to pursue professional counseling in order to make sure that you're whole. We want to not count ourselves short, sell ourselves short of our healing just because of the stigma and what other people may think. You know, because at the end of the day, those other people are not the ones that have to deal with your hurt. They're not the ones who have to deal with the pain. They're not the ones who have to lay in your bed at night and be awake and not being able to get rest throughout the night. So if you need additional counseling, you want to make sure that you either call your health provider. And to get the recommendations, you can also just go to Google and do a Google search as well, or even talk to other people who you may know who have gone to counseling and to get recommendations as well so that you can get the help that you need. So what do we do knowing that people have come to church and they have been hurt? Well, the first thing that I would recommend that we do is that as Christians, as people of faith, we have to constantly be checking ourselves and checking our motives. We're not perfect. We're not always going to get it right. You know, I hate to break it to anyone who's listening, and that's not the answer that you want to hear, but I'm going to be 100% honest with you and let you know is that no matter what church you go through or go to attend, there's going to be at least one thing that happens that really fit well with you because the same people that are at church are the same people that's on your job. They're the same people that you see in the grocery store. the same people who are in your family, the same people who hold political offices, the same people who you see in the doctor's office, the same people that you see in restaurants when you go to sit down and eat. You know, there's all these other places that we experience imperfect people. Those are the same people that come to church. You know, just walking through a set of doors that's now doesn't make you perfect. It doesn't nullify or just instantly get rid of all the other issues that you have. All you're doing is walking into the building. At the end of the day, walking into a building does not change who you are, because being a Christian is all about relationship anyway. You can come and sit in a church every single Sunday for your whole entire life, for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, even 80 years. And if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, then you coming and sitting in that church every Sunday really doesn't mean a thing. So we have to also, even for those of us who have experienced hurt in the church, is to understand is that the same imperfect people outside of those doors are the same imperfect people inside of the doors. Now, again, I'm not condoning any wrongdoing. I'm not condoning that things are okay if someone hurts, and just to say, okay, well, we have to just count it off because nobody's perfect anyway. But what I am saying is that let's be honest and let's have an understanding is that all of us are imperfect, and we all have issues. We all have shortcomings that we have to deal with. Now, for those of us who hold leadership positions in the church, is that when we are informed of a situation where a person is hurt, we want to be mindful and very careful of how we handle that person and how we handle the situation. We want to be objective. We want to make sure that we're compassionate. But even first and foremost, we want to make sure that we are led by the Spirit of God and that we really try to bring a resolution to the situation that really takes into account all the parties that are involved. Now, in saying that, again, just some solutions, they're not going to be perfect. There's some hard solutions that are going to come to situations that happen. But we want to make sure that even that we don't respond out of hurt as the ones who are in positions to come and resolve the issue. We want to make sure that we don't respond out of anger. And sometimes that may mean, okay, let me hear the issue and then let me go and take some time to review this. So then let me take some time to poorly pray about how to move forward. It's that we don't want to make rash decisions and end up hurting the person or the persons even more about what we're doing. And then the other thing we have to be conscious of as well when we are talking about minimizing the hurt that people are experiencing when they come to church is how we preach the gospel of God, how we preach the truth of God's word. Now, let me also say this, is that when you look at Jesus and how he even ministered throughout the Bible, you will see that there were times that Jesus was aggressive, and there were times that he were not. For instance, when he went into the temple, Jesus came in there with a whip and a tipple, flipping over tables. So there were times that Jesus was aggressive when it came to his response to different issues. But then there were times when Jesus showed compassion and humility as well. With speaking the truth of the gospel, we have to understand and be able to know and discern when it is time to stand boldly and to speak the truth, and when it is time to speak in humility and to speak in grace. We have to make sure that as we preach our message, that we really, at the end of the day, have it seasoned with love, because there's a way to speak the truth in love, and there's a way to speak the truth in hate. You're saying the exact same thing, but it's all about the way that you're seasoning it. You know, even for, you know, those of us who cook and for a chef, they can talk about this in more detail, is that too much of a good thing is too much. It then becomes a bad thing, like even for salt. Let's say if you're cooking something and you're putting some salt in it. If you put the whole bottle of salt into one dish, that's going to be way too much. But if you put enough seasoning in there just to season the dish and to give it that flavor, then that will be good enough. And so the same thing as we're speaking, the truth is that we want to make sure that we use enough of that we're seasoning everything with love. And with seasoning the truth and love, we don't want to use so much love that we stop speaking truth. We don't want to use so much love that we don't tell someone when they're wrong. We don't want to use so much love that we no longer stand for the same standard that Christ has already laid out in the Bible. But at the same token, we don't want to lose too little love either. We don't want to lose so middle love that we're just like, you know what, but you need the truth. You know, we want to make sure that you understand the standard. Because if you lose too little love, then you're going to lose the person as well. There's always a way to say things and to do things where it was seasoned with the love and grace of God, and that is done in a way that is pleasing to God. Even if you have to give a hard truth, there's a way to give hard truth, that even if the person doesn't accept it, you know, at the end of the day, know that you're speaking the truth and this is what needs to be done. I may not like it, but you're being loving, you're being objective, and you're giving the truth of God's word, not the truth of Sherry Weary, not the gospel of Sherry Weary or the gospel of whoever else. It's that we're always bringing it back to Christ and his love. So we're actually over our time today for the show. I think I'm going to do actually a part two for next week because there's some other things that I want to get to as well, but I don't want to keep you all too much longer. So I want to go into our final segment of the show, which is a dose of spiritual wellness. And so this is the point in the show where we recap it, everything that we've discussed, and we give some tips just to have you to help you to go along in your week based upon our topics. So these tips or our doses of spiritual wellness is based upon how to deal with hurt, not just in the church, but just any hurt that you experience from someone that you don't expect and that is really close to you. So first of all, you want to acknowledge your hurt. You want to be honest with yourself because being in denial about how you feel would not allow you the opportunity to fully heal. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a stab wound. Like if you have this big, huge, gaping wound the size of your hand and you put a Band-Aid on it the size of your pinky, what good is that going to do? That's not going to help you properly heal. You're actually leaving that wound open to be infected, and now you're putting that wound at risk for even more complications to come about. So in our experience of hurt, we want to be honest about our hurt so that we can give ourselves the opportunity to fully be cleansed of that position of hurt so that we can now be in a position of healing. Two, you want to surround yourself with people who can handle your truth. Everyone does not have the capacity to care for your truth with the utmost respect and care and sensitivity. So we want to make sure that we're not giving our story, our position of hurt, our moment of hurt, to people who have ears that is open for gossip, to people who have lips that are open to speak death to us. We want to make sure that we are speaking our truth. We're giving our hurt to people who have the capacity to handle that and who also will guide us through those tough parts in the process of healing but still be focused on getting us to the position of healing. And that may mean that there's some things you can't discuss with your best friend. There's some things you may not be able to discuss with family members or, you know, to other people that you consider to be part of your inner circle. You want to make sure you're giving your truth to someone who has the capacity to hold it. Number three, you want to be committed to healing. Being committed to healing is tough. It is hard. It is some very tough moments. But you want to be committed to experience a renewal of joy and a renewal of trust in your life because it is possible. With God, all things are possible. With God, he is able to heal even the deepest hurts from years ago or even the deepest hurts that you've just experienced recently that are just so deep where you don't even have the words to even express how you feel about it. Jesus is able to heal that, and as we give that to him, and then we also live out the practicality of seeking people who can help us through that process, like a professional counselor or a pastor or other leaders in the church, we want to make sure that we do that as well. And then lastly, I just want to emphasize the importance of not skipping steps. Allow yourself to fully go through the process because if you don't, you're going to have to repeat the steps as well. And even as you're going through the process, don't expect perfection. Again, we're human. There's some things, some parts of the healing process that are going to be harder than others, and you may have to keep encountering that particular step over and over again until you're able to perfect that lesson that you are to learn as you're going through that particular step in your healing process. But don't skip the steps. Even though it's hard, even though it's tough, you know, make sure that you are committed to healing and that you're committed to moving to a place of wholeness and being well. So that is our time for this evening. I've enjoyed being with you guys, and I look forward to spending next Monday evening with you as well at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can log on to the show at blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness. You can always listen to replays of the show as well. Let's say if there's a particular show you would like to hear again, or if you missed the show 1 week, you can always go back and listen to the replays by going to the show website, which is blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope at the handle Weary Consult. To find out all things Sherry Weary, you can go to my website, sherryweary.com, and be sure to check out the blog for the blog for RS Wellness Counseling or RS Counseling and Wellness Center at radiantsunshine.org. You can find tons of helpful wellness tips, including blogs that I put there as well. My latest blog entitled More is Required was released a few days ago, so definitely go and check that out. Be sure to tune in on Tuesdays at 12 p.m. for the radio show with Sharia Farmer titled The Lunch Date, a Social Wellness Break, where she gives out tips on having healthy relationships. And lastly, my novel, Walking Through the Pain, is available in print and ebook format on my website at sherryweary.com. It's also available at amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com. I currently have a Mother's Day special that is running from today through May 14th. It actually started last week, but I'm going, I did make sure that I have that still available for an extended amount of time. So it's available through May 14th, where you can get free shipping all print orders. But to get the discount, you have to specifically order from my website, which is sherryweary.com. That's SHERRYWHERRY. Well, that is all I have, and until we meet again, and as always, my prayer for you is that you will be well, you will be whole, and that you will be set free.